Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. Now time for a very, not the Monster Mash edition, but the Monster Train edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply get on a train and pass on by. I am Corey, and I'm joined by the man who has, he's like Snowpiercer over here on this train, Basher.
A regular Captain America, if you will.
Michael, what's that? Is it Michael Bean? Is that that actor's name?
What?
The guy that's on Snowpiercer for the show. Is that his name?
On the show. I'm sorry. I'm thinking you're talking about the movie. I'm like, no. We know that's Chris Evans, right?
No, yes, that's Chris Evans. Yes, I was pivoting to the show. It's popular.
You're thinking Christopher Bean.
Christopher Bean. That's what. What did I say?
Michael Bean. I don't know. I mean both of those things up.
He always dies. Isn't that the joke?
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, Boromir.
The Game of Thrones guy.
For a little while. Spoiler alert, I guess.
Okay, if this spoiler is for Game of Thrones, guys, I mean...
Sorry. I don't really like Game of Thrones. That is not what we're here to talk about. We are here to talk about the game on Game Pass, Monster Train. This is developed by Shiny Shoe. I was going to say Shiny Shoe Games, but that is not what it's called, just Shiny Shoe. They have developed other games such as Death's Door, and they've also worked on a lot of ports for some older games like Full Throttle and Banner Saga 3. Regularly priced at $24.99 is a card battler roguelike available on PC and Xbox. There is no crossplay, but there is cloud saves. I've actually been using that. I've been playing on my Xbox as well as my Surface, going back and forth between them. Works pretty flawlessly, even when your run is in the middle of a train run, it all works. It's pretty sweet. It does have 1X and Xbox Series X support, but this is not a game that is going to be pushing those pixels, so I'm going to guess it probably runs at 60 frames and 4K on the 1X as well as Series X and 1440p on the Series S, but that is a guess. I cannot say that with certainty. Card Battler Roguelike Monster Train. Let's talk about it.
It's a run, so any run game is the best game, apparently. I mean, I feel like that's just... the thing going into 2021 is just if it's a run based game, I'm all for it.
I can't stop playing run games. I don't know what it is. What's happening?
And I don't know. It's really stupid on my part because the game's designed so that you can just walk away from it at any point. It will pick up right where you left off.
I've been doing that a lot. Yeah, I've been doing that a lot.
I actually haven't. Like once I start a run, I'm going all the way to the end. Like we're not stopping this train for no reason at all. But it's hard to explain this type of game. You just listed the genre, and it's just a mashup of three or four different genres. And because of that, it's a deck builder. It's a card based game. Your units and your spells are all card based, and when you play them, they appear on three levels of this train. And that's all wrapped around the idea of getting from, I believe you're trying to drive your train out of hell, right? Or deeper into hell.
I think it's deeper. I'm not entirely sure. There is a story to this game, but I mean, it is not
at all at the forefront in any capacity. But I believe it, the idea is to go deeper, because at the end of it, at the end of the run, it seems that you accomplish your goal and it seems that you go deeper. So,
right. So once, and that's essentially the game, because once you get these randomized cards, you get your randomized deck, and then along the way you can upgrade your deck, you can upgrade your spells, you can upgrade your cat, your monster cards. You can get different tokens and trinkets that add different sorts of effects to the overall gameplay experience. Like anytime an enemy monster walks to your train, it becomes dazed for two turns, or it becomes poisoned for a turn or two. Like and you get all these kind of buffs and debuffs, and it creates a very strategic, thoughtful gameplay in a very simple package. And I think that's, a true accomplishment.
Yeah. There is depth to it as well. I mean, so the part that sort of, I don't say confuses me, but sort of like gets me, the part that I like and don't like is, so you basically kind of pick your main, and then you pick like a subclass. So like the one you start out with is a sort of fighter class, I guess you could say. It seems to be evolved around fire. So it's very offensive based. You have a champion. So it's kind of a mixture of every card battle, or it's like Magic games. You have a commander deck, and that's basically what these decks are. You've got a commander, and then that commander gets stronger throughout the game, depending on how you play your game or depending on what upgrade path you take. So you pick a main, you pick a subclass, which gives you a second tier of cards or type of cards. Like one's very magic based and one's more spell based, I guess it was the same thing. One's more defensive based or healing based. And that's kind of where the depth lies, in that each class has its own upgrade path in terms of experience trees. And so you can actually, I don't know. Can you do that? Can you rock just one class, or do you always have to pick a second class that's different?
You always have to pick a second class that's different, for a number of possibilities and combinations.
Yeah, okay. And that's what I thought, because I've never actually tried to just do one class the same. So that's kind of where the depth is for me, because I really want to sort of level up these classes, because once you hit level 5, you also, with each class, because you also have a main level sort of thing too, because every time that you, the first time you, if you successfully complete a run, clearly we haven't podcast in a while because I can't talk, you sort of level up your, there's like a card that you have basically, and it, I think it goes up to what, 25, something like that. And if you beat level 1, then you get to upgrade and you get to level 2, et cetera, et cetera. So, but it's always more difficult. And so there's always this treadmill that you're running on of leveling up your main class and your secondary class, as well as your personal like gamer tag class. And you're always trying to get, better and better. And as you get better and better, you get better cards. And so it's a natural progression of a card-based game. But it's super hard to nail. That is something that is very tricky. As someone who's played, I've played a lot of different card games, even when I was a kid, from Pokemon to Yu-Gi-Oh!, but to Hearthstone, to Magic, to the Marvel-based ones, the DC-based ones. I've played a lot of them. And I did not play Artifact. Did not get sucked into that one. But this reminds me a lot of Slay the Spire, which I was kind of floored that this wasn't made by the same people, because if you look at the UI and even the art style, it is like a straight rip from it. So I'm kind of concerned in that standpoint of like, did they just rip this game off? Because it's basically a more depth or a deeper version of that. And that's where the depth comes in for me. And that's where I get sort of sucked into it, is just, even when I have an unsuccessful run, I still am progressing in some capacity.
No, I completely agree. There's something about deck builder that I always want to like. I go back to Baiting Kaitos on a GameCube, I believe.
That game is so good.
And you'll tell people that, and then they'll look at it like, what? No, absolutely not.
Lost Kingdoms, and it's like, as well.
Yeah, and it's just something about these kind of games that I like, but it's like you said, they're very hard to nail. And on my first run in Monster Train, it didn't click for me. I thought there was promise there, and I'm just like, I don't know. It's just, I honestly feel like there wasn't a certain depth there until I started doing more and more runs and getting more and more cards and exploring more and more upgrades. And that's when things just really started to click, because then it's like, because you have these I want to say 8 different, maybe 6 different classes. And you have, like you said, you have to pick one or the other as a sort of a team, like one complements the other. And you never think, or you don't think in the beginning how one could complement the other, but each of the classes work well together once you figure out how they work together.
Yeah.
And for the longest time in my during my gameplay here, like I thought like the initial class was the best class for me. And they're sort of the brutes. But by the end of it, I believe they call it the Umbra.
Correct.
They're these all black necro creatures, and it's all about eating its own to become essentially more powerful throughout the run. And it's like, I thought that would be hard to manage, hard to pair with other factions, but like it actually works quite well. And that's what clicks with me. Every time you do something different or new, it works just surprisingly well.
And I would also put that on the flip side too, is if you're someone like, I have a friend of mine who I introduced him to Slay the Spire, and that game is very similar in that it's got the traditional three classes Diablo style, but that first class is just a straight up warrior, and the second and third one is one's a more defensive and one's a more sort of magic based. He just blew through that game with the warrior type and was like, yep, I'm done. Like, he's like, I really like this game. I'm just going to keep playing with this class. You could do that in this as well. You can find those first two classes and just keep leveling, keep leveling, keep leveling, and finding out more combinations to help. But I'm with you in that I'm very much the same way. It's when you, I'm always a little hesitant to try a new combination because I get used to one combination that I really like. Like, for instance, right now I'm using sort of the fire class, which is your more warrior, and I don't remember the name of the – it's the third class that you unlock. It's more of the magic-based one.
The purple people.
Yeah, that one. And that one, like, I'm still not quite sure what I'm doing. Like I'm getting through runs. Like, I'm not finishing them. Like, I'm getting usually to, like, the second boss, and I'm sort of just not – I'm not doing something right, but I know the combination is there. Like, I know there's something that I'm missing personally that I need to do better at to really make this combination come alive. And that's, again, that's so hard to nail. And I feel like all the classes that I played so far, they've done it. And from what I've read online and stuff like that too, it seems to be, there's always a combination that works, and it sometimes works in ways you can't think of. And I think the best example is whenever There's something about this game and again Slay the Spire that really come to mind is I never understood the whole like removing card thing, because every once in a while you come across a you know, I guess we should also preface, so each level, like before each battle, you sort of pick a path either left or right, and each one has bonuses to you. Sometimes it's your base gets 20 more health and then you can visit a shop, or sometimes it's remove two cards, or it's go to this cave and you might find something, or unlock an artifact, which is basically like a modifier kind of thing. And I would always not pick the one where you could remove cards. And then eventually, you know, in Slay the Spire, it taught me, it's like, you really need to start removing those base cards because they just get in the
right
way. And that's a hard thing to learn and to understand. But once you really start experimenting, you just really understand the way the classes work. And I don't want to say it becomes magical, but it hits that point in your brain. Like, if you are a person that grew up or even like card battlers, even the basic stuff like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, you start finding those combinations, and it's just like, man, like this is, and you get excited to try it out. You're like, man, I really want to try this out because I didn't think about using this card in this way, but you got to draw it. And it's just, it's exciting and it's fun. And it's also really smart in how it displays information and the way that the train works. And it's just, I feel like I'm just gushing about this. You were supposed to be gushing about this game, not me.
No, I mean, I'm just to you gush because I agree with all of that. Even down to that, I was showing you their names, but the purple faction that's all spell based.
Yeah, magic. I would say magic. That's not the right word.
Yeah,
but I would say offensive spells.
Yeah. Right, and like I remember when I first unlocked them, and I tried doing some stuff, and tried doing a run with them as my primary clan, and My very first thought was, this clan sucks. I'm over this clan. But then as you do more runs, it starts to make way more sense. Like by the end of a couple of runs, I'm beasting with that clan. And that's the thing I And that's the reason I really love this game, because there's always a way to where once you figure out the magic of the combination, by the end of it, you are just a absolute beast.
Yeah.
And I love that feeling you get, that video games give you, where there's a journey where you don't know what you're doing, or you start very small, you start from humble beginnings, and then by the end of it, the game lets you just be a monster. And that class and any other class, a combination of classes, surprisingly do that very well, where once you get down the how to operate together, you can really just let loose.
For sure. And it's, I guess, if I don't say if, because that's not the right word. Where I run into an issue with these games is the artifact system, in that some of those artifacts are just like they are game changing. You know, the one that gives you a 50% chance of not stunning. Is it stunning? Where basically they don't attack you that round, because the way the enemies work.
Yeah,
the way the enemies work is that there's three different levels to this train. They come in on the first level, and if you don't stop them on that first level, they get to the second level, third level, etc. And then on the fourth level is basically the heart of your whatever. And so your goal is to stop them on each level. But there's an artifact where basically they come in, and then they don't get to attack once, which basically means you get free hits on them. And it's a 50-50 shot. And that thing that can make or break an entire run. And while I'm not mad at it, it just seems that sometimes the run is a little bit based too much on luck for me, and that I got the good artifact, so therefore I don't have to play as well. Or even if it's not even I don't have to play as well, it's that I'm just not getting good good cards, you know, because every time you play the game, some of your cards stay the same, like your base cards stay the same, but the cards you're getting along the way can be different, and you also get a random three cards every time you start. So I understand that the point is it's a roguelike and it's random, but I just feel like sometimes those artifacts are just too strong, and maybe it's supposed to be that way. So that way, you know, eventually you will have a good run, because the game, I don't want to say it beats itself, but it just gives you more of a chance. But sometimes those can spoil it for me. But that is a very small criticism for a game that I don't have a lot else bad to say.
I will piggyback off that with saying that I do think I blame, and I could be completely wrong, and it could be my skills, but I do feel like I blame more than a few failed attempts on the trinkets that they offered to me. But at the same time, it's a give and take, because if you get the good trinkets, you're not I'm not complaining like that. I got them, you know. So like, there are definitely points in this game where you beat up on the AI and it feels completely unfair. Because like to your point about that particular modifier, they enter in and they're dazed. It's 50-50 chance they're dazed. Then there are cards that straight do a certain daze damage, daze amount. Right. And then there are other cards that will push you up or down levels in the train and cause days. And there were runs where I applied maybe 5-6 friggin' turns of days.
Right, and they're just standing there, basically.
Yeah, and it becomes just a fun, stupid game in that sense, where it's like, all right, this has gotten nuts, it's gotten out of control, and I'm still on board. One of the biggest concerns for me initially was feeling that the game didn't have enough depth. So like, I'm not going to compare it to the best game of all time, Hades, but after leveling up a certain amount of clans, after doing a certain amount of runs, it, depending on the type of player you are, you could bounce off this a lot earlier than someone else, because whereas you have games like Children of Morta that have this kind of underbelly of a story that's kind of dragging you along the way, this is purely run. This is purely point A to point B, repeat, point A to point A, repeat. And then like it's like you said, you get new cards, you get new abilities unlocked, and so on and so forth. So if you're not looking forward to those new cards, and you're kind of satisfied by the challenge you just got, you may just figure like, all right, we're done here.
Yeah, I could see that happening a lot. It really is the run based thing that I think could upset. I don't say upset, but I have definitely felt to where there are runs where I basically just wipe the floor with the AI, and it's fine. But then there's the ones that when I'm really struggling and I come out on top kind of thing. It's like I didn't get the best cards. I didn't get the best artifacts. You know, but I made it work. I was smart and strategic. And then I have to sort of start all over. It's like, man, like, I really wish I could just keep going with this deck. Like, just a little bit longer, because it's not the best deck, but I've made it work for me, and I don't get to keep playing with it. And I don't want to say it's, like, disheartening, because it's not disheartening. It just sort of, sometimes it takes the wind out of my sail. I'm just kind of like, you know what, I'm kind of done with this game for right now. You know, I'm not mad at it. I'm just sort of like, okay. Like, I've got my fill of it for the day, and then I'll put it down for a couple of days or even a day, and then I'll come back to it. And it all just comes back to you, to where it's like, okay, like, I remember why I like this game. It's still fun. You know? But I feel like some people could play that or experience that and just kind of be like, you know what? I don't really want a game that I have to keep playing it over and over. I don't know if that's better. I don't know if the card-based nature of it is better or worse, because I've been playing a lot of run-based games, including Hades, Undermine, as well as Monster Train. And I don't know, for some odd reason in the card-based genre, I guess, it seems to hit harder for me. Whereas something like Undermine and Hades, even though I have to start over, maybe because I'm more involved with the gameplay in terms of the moment-to-moment, whereas the cards are sort of randomized, it hits a little harder. In that sense. So Moonlighter, that's the other one I've been playing. So yeah, I'm playing 4 run based games. But yeah, so I don't know. There's something about the card thing and the run thing that I think could turn off people, but I don't think that's a criticism. I think that's just a asterisk or a warning to some players.
Yeah. I'd agree with that for the most part, because there is a sense of you kind of restarting because of the deck. And that's not to say you don't have the same cards from moment to moment, from level to level. It's just a matter of they're reshuffled every time,
right?
And so you don't have any control at all. And I've been there where I've lost runs because it's like, why couldn't you just give me those two same cards in the beginning again? Like,
right?
And I'll win every single one. But that is the nature of the game, and you will have frustrating moments. You will have moments of like, oh, this is way too easy. And then you'll have the best moments that I feel like, or where you're losing and you bring it back because you get that one Yu-Gi-Oh! Moment card.
Right. And I wanna preface or emphasize too that I think the magic glue that holds everything together is the UI, along with very smart decisions of before every battle, there's kind of a modifier you can click that'll make it more difficult for you. And that's on top of whatever difficulty you're ever on. So, you don't have to do it. And it tells you right away, like, if you do this, you know, the opponent will get +10 armor to every monster that comes in. But if you win, you'll get a bonus trinket, or you'll get 150 gold, or, you know, something like that. And I think that's really smart. I've done that a couple times. It adds some risk and reward. But the other thing for me is that there's a speed button, and that it's very easy to access. And so if there's a moment to where, you know, if there's a full train and you're playing on normal speed, it could be a minute or two before everyone's sort of done doing their thing, especially in those later fights, as there's different effects, different et cetera, going on. And it's got like 5 different speeds, I think. And by the time you hit the last one, it's just like things are just flying across the screen. And it's basically just auto. I don't want to say auto playing because that's not correct, but it's everything is already, you know, figured out in the background kind of thing, and the cards and the visual layer is just sort of displaying it. And that is extremely important to me as someone who has some issues with run-based games. The fact that there is a button to basically speed this up goes a long way for me. And I also enjoy the fact that even like the second speed is just a little bit quicker than normal. I don't really ever play on the normal speed because I think it's just a little too slow. But the fact that that is there is super important. And I think that's just, again, that's just the magic glue that holds everything together. There's these small touches that just make everything feel great. Even on a controller, like I I prefer the PC version, but I think that it works extremely well in the controller as well.
I guess you brought up a criticism that I kind of forgot about because of that. The autoplay function. So enemies come into the train onto the bottom floor of three floors, well, four technically, and they move their way up if you don't kill them before they get go to the top. On the final phase is the boss phase. And that's where the game starts to lose me a bit, because that's when the game, when that final, what they call phase, is when the boss comes onto the first level of your train, and whatever you have set up at that point on that first level plays out all the way. You right. don't get a turn until either the boss or all your people or units on that level is dead. Then he moves to the next level of the train, the second level, and that's when you could play a few more cards. But then it plays out again the same way, where it will all autoplay until people are destroyed on either end. And it goes back to what you said of, I wouldn't call it a flaw of the game, but it's definitely a gameplay decision that I don't love. Just because, again, I understand it's the nature of the deck building game, but if you don't have the best cards set up, like, you gotta, like, I would like a chance to be like, all right, let me get another reshuffle here, like mid fight, so I could at least try to change the tide of battle here.
Right. Once that boss enters, it's, I don't want to say the game is over, but it's pretty close. Like there's not a lot you can do at that point to change things up, because most likely your second and third levels are probably stacked already. At that point in the game, you've already drawn multiple times. You've already done multiple plays, you know. So usually when you get to that second level, I'm not summoning monsters. If anything, I'm using spell cards, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes those can change the tide of the battle extremely, especially depending on what class you're playing and stuff. But yeah, no, there's definitely... But the thing is, like, you also can't really prepare for it. Like, even though if you know the boss is coming on the sixth wave or whatever, you still can't really prepare for it, because you are dictated by the cards, you know? So like it's maybe you can, maybe we're just not good enough, but so yeah, it's,
I mean, you could mentally prepare for it, but you can't
right.
physically prepare for it. Like, cause you know, they're coming. So you can say, so you can know, like, all right, the boss is coming in the next phase. I'm going to want this card to afflict this amount of frostbite. I want this reflection spell, so on and so forth. But it's completely random, so
right. So it
good luck getting any of those.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting that the boss mechanic is there, because the bosses also have their own abilities and stuff. So sometimes they'll put rage, or they'll buff other characters, or they'll sort of move around until you know, they'll go to different floors and buff characters before they actually make their entrance. And they always have a lot more health, etc. So it's interesting that they went that way instead of just having wave after wave, you know, kind of thing. And I'm wondering if that's, I always wonder in, you know, in development about certain things, and I wonder if bosses weren't even a thing at some point, because it seems kind of like maybe the game was too easy, and they needed a way to sort of beat the player down a little bit. Because if it was just wave after wave of enemy, I feel like you eventually would just sort of overpower them. And the boss is really what makes, most of the time when I lose, it's because the boss is just a beast, you know. And I don't know, so I'm sort of rambling at this point, but I'm not sure if I love the bosses or not. I think in the context here it works, but the problem is I don't have anything to compare it to. You know, I don't have a run to where they don't have bosses, but it's an interesting mechanic, and I don't think it's a flaw, but I think it can the fact that a run can go wrong extremely quickly when that boss shows up I think it could upset people. But yeah,
which again is probably the point of it all. You right. know, it all depends on how you mentally bounce back from that, especially if you blame yourself or you blame the cards.
Right. So, but yeah, I think we've talked enough about this game. I think it's fair to say that we super enjoy this game. Chances are you've at least heard of it, but if not, I mean, this game was getting rave reviews around the web, and I had heard about it, and I had heard the you know, Slay the Spire was also on Game Pass, so I would also. I, how can I say this without just making this an advertisement for Slay the Spire? When it comes to Monster Train on this podcast, I think we can say you should play it. You should definitely play this one. Pass it on to your friends. And it plays on anything. I've been playing on a Surface Pro 6, which is only an i5, 8 gigs of RAM. You know, I do not have a high-end Surface device, and it plays very, very well. I had to turn down the resolution a little bit, but that's it. You know, other than that, it's great. And it'll play on your 1 all the way up to Series X, so...
Yeah, I completely agree. I absolutely adore this game. Must play. And I do want to add, the music as well is very nice. It's very, very nice. It doesn't blow you away, but it is. All the tunes in this is almost perfect for the bosses, perfect for the environment. All the sound effects are hit. There's a satisfying clang and thump to every action, even though you're not physically moving these characters. So, like, everything from the aesthetic to the gameplay to the music, like, it's a must experience for me.
Yeah, and I say all that because what I want to say is that if you're kind of curious about this game, I hesitate to say that Slay the Spire is a less involved version, but there's only... It's a more traditional. There's not multiple layers. It's really just one character, one set of cards, and you're kind of moving forward. I think that's a great place to start because it's a little bit easier to get into, and I think it's a little bit more upfront with you not having to sort of manage the three different levels of Monster Train. So I don't want to, you know, it's not the point of this podcast, but I want to throw that out there that both of these games, Slay the Spire and Monster Train, are both fantastic games. You should check them out. So. But all right, I think that's going to do it for this episode. It is the first episode of the year. Welcome to the new listeners. I do see the numbers. We do have new people out there listening, so welcome to you. As always, you can send us an email. You can send us an email about anything that you want. I shouldn't say anything. Now I'm going to get some weird emails. gpopfans@gmail.com. Let us know games that you like on Game Pass, whether you like us, don't like us, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. You can also shoot us a voicemail on Anchor, or you can call our Google Voice number at 574-651-9256. Again, that's 574-651-9256. Shoot us an email, voicemail, whatever you want. In terms of schedule of what's going to be coming up, next episode, we're going to be playing a game called Xenocrisis. And that's not really... I think that was one that I sort of just landed on over the break. I was sort of just picking games, and I picked that one up, and we're ended up doing an episode on it. And you picked Monster Train, so that's why we're doing that. We did do a spin, and we got the Full Throttle remaster, so we're going to be playing that for our random game. But there's also going to be two games coming out this month that are day one games that I think it's fair to say that I'm looking forward to one. That would be Cyber Shadow, which is coming from Yacht Club Games. Now, it's not their next game, but they are publishing that game. But I am a huge, huge, huge Shovel Knight fan, so I'll be looking at Cyber Shadow quite closely. And the other one is The Medium. The Medium was supposed to be sort of one of the big launch games for the Series X and S. It is a Series X and S only game. It's on PC as well, but that is one of the first games that is not coming to the 1 or the 1X/PS4 generation. So it was getting a lot of hype for those reasons, but it did get pushed due to COVID. So that is coming out on January 27th. So those games, those next four games are going to be the ones that we're going to be talking about and playing. So we've got the next month sort of figured out. And I'm thinking after that, we'll probably spin the wheel unless something comes out in February that we just have to play or that's announced day one. So there's a rumor that there's a certain game coming out in February that we know is already good, but we'll probably cheat and do an episode on it anyway. But all right, I just said a lot. Do you have anything you want to say?
Not at all. I'm done here.
Oh, he's done here. All right, that's going to do with this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We will see you next time with Xenocrisis.
Good day, sirs.